Well, it's good to be back here tonight. Thank all of you for coming back out. He did mention I have a lot more water tonight, so we never know what's going to happen. I was trying not to preach too long this morning. I didn't think I did. I never know. It's hard to gauge because you don't know. I don't know Pastor Evans. I don't know how long he preaches. I know how long our pastor preaches. You know, sometimes it's longer. And sometimes his wife gives him a hard time, and she says, hey, let's shorten this afternoon, or let's shorten something like that. So I promise you, I said that this morning, but I promise you I will not be long tonight because we do have to drive back home, and so we're not going to take too long tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Let me say thank you for how friendly you guys have been. Been great to preach to, it's and sing to. It's been a privilege to be here. We thank you for the gift that was given to our kids and everything. That was a blessing. We really appreciate that. So we look forward to maybe coming back here again sometime if you guys would have us. That would be just fine. So Leviticus chapter 26, real quickly here, and we will read the first 12 verses of this chapter, Leviticus. Chapter 26. It says, "You shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword, and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." That'd be really something to see, right? One, five chasing 100, and 100 chasing 10,000. It's kind of like sometimes you see those hawks flying around, you got one of those other little birds trying to attack them, right? You know, so that's always neat to see. That's kind of what I get in my mind's eye when I see that. He says there in verse number 9, "For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be back in the house of God tonight. Thank you for your people here in Florida, Lord. We pray now that you just bless this time together. Lord, just be with us as we share a few thoughts from your word. And just pray that you just, again, hide me behind the cross. Lord, fill me with exactly the words that I need to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We have all had those what-if moments, right? The time where we kind of look back and say, hey, what if I had done that? Or what if I had gone there? Or what if I didn't do that? Or what if I didn't go there? Or whatever the case may be. Many people think, well, what if I'd gone into this career? What if I had joined the military? Or what if I didn't join the military? You know, different things. There's different, things that really line up and put our life together in the manner that it is, right? There's different chapters of our life, we might say, right? Many of you, like Brother Biles, you know, spending all those years in the Navy and in military and things like that, and then, or some work in a factory for, you know, 30 years or so. Some do this. You know, there's different things, different chapters of our life, and, you know, you can look back many times and say, what if? You know, what if? And there's many times people will sit around and they sit around and do nothing but what if-ing, right? You know, and they can't seem to look into the future or look ahead. They always want to look in the past and think, you know, what if, what if? Well, when you look here at the children of Israel, we see that they had many what-if moments. Or maybe you might call them if-you-will moments, right? if you will, moments. And all through this chapter here, and there's many other places we could look at, God gave them, hey, if you will, if you will, if you will, then I'll do this, right? He laid it out there, hey, if you'll follow me, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll do all these things, if you'll rid the country here that you're in of these my enemies, of these people here, then, here's what I will do. I'll cause you to have fruit in abundance, and you'll have peace, and you'll have all these things. He talks about if you will. And so he gave them a charge or a challenge here to walk with him. And as Christians, children of God as we are, he has given us this same challenge in our daily walk with him. Kind of almost like the same line we've talked about this morning, same kind of theme here of really sticking by this stuff and really staying with God and following his commands for us. And we'll see how he will bless us and how he takes care of us. Let's look at these if statements here. Some of these if statements, some verses that have this if statement or challenge in them. Exodus 19. Look there if you would. Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse number 5, says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Keeping kind of close to home here. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, right there, close together. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 2. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." You remember there in, of course, the New Testament, Paul tells us that we're a peculiar people, right? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, amen? That's our the priesthood of the believers. That's how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. We are to be peculiar. Now, I know some of us are really peculiar, right? Amen? If you kind of use that I saw sister tap brother on the shoulder there. That's fine. I'll tell you. In fact, I love to tell this story. We have a guy. We have a sergeant at the prison, and he is peculiar. He is something else. He's one of those guys, he will talk to himself and argue with himself and just answer himself and keep on going with himself. I mean, he's have his own conversation. And I've heard him actually, you know, it's not good, but I've heard him actually cuss himself out. So I don't know. It was kind of odd, you know, so the way he went on with that. But, you know, but that peculiar, that word is mentioned here a couple times, that we are a peculiar people. I have a hard time saying that word, apparently, peculiar people unto him. He has pulled us in to be a peculiar people unto himself. And so he expects us to display ourselves in a certain way, right? Because we are his children, we need to look like we're his children. We need to act like we're his children. We need to talk like we're his children and do everything like we are his children. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know this verse, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." He can't do anything to fix what's around us. He can't do anything to heal the land or anything, forgive the sin, until we humble ourselves and we do what we need to do and we get our face before him and seek him. Then he will do those things. John 14, 15 says this, "If ye love me, keep my commandments," right? So we see some of these if verses. Here's the if you do this, then I will bless you and I will guide you and lead you. So I want to pose four what if questions tonight real quickly to challenge us in our walk with the Lord. And the first one has to do with this verse that we just read here about loving God. Here's the question. What if we really loved God like we say we love God? What if we really love God like we say we love God? I have three kids. You met them this morning, and two of them up here sang with us
today. And I know that they love me, but they have a habit of when they want something, they really show they love me, right? Perfect example, especially my daughters, right? Girls have a way of doing that, right? With their daddies, you know, they flash those eyes, daddy, you know. And let me tell you, we have a perfect example just recently. In a moment of weakness, I folded. She's laughing already. I allowed my daughter to get a new puppy. A golden retriever. He's only 8, 9 weeks old now. He's a brand new puppy. Just weaned away from his mother. So we just got him. And he is something else. He's a puppy, right? And he's all over the place. And perfect example of this was when we were talking about getting the puppy, we're kind of discussing it as a family. I'm trying to make the decision. She comes in. She, daddy. You know, does the blinking thing. And, you know, she didn't even mean to. It was not even on purpose. She just walks in, just happy daddy. You know, the head tilt sideways and the eyes, you know. So perfect example of, oh, daddy, I really love you. And even more if I get that puppy, right? Amen? So that's what our kids often do. But God wants us to show our love for him all of the time, right? Not just when we want something from him. We have a habit of doing that. When we want something from God, oh man, I'm gonna clean my spiritual room right now, right? I'm gonna do the spiritual dishes. I'm gonna put away the spiritual laundry, right? Amen. So we just like our kids do when they really want something. What they do all their chores, right? They do the laundry, they clean the room. Hey, I'll go out and mow the yard 2-3 times. I don't care. I'm gonna try to get something from you, Dad. And that's what we do in our spiritual walk. Oftentimes we want to get something from God. We really have a need, so I'm gonna really act like I'm supposed to right now. I'm going to show my love for God. Well, that's not really showing our love for God if it's conditional, is it? If it's we're waiting on him to bless us with something so I can show my love, that's not how it works. We need to constantly, if we are a child of his, we need to constantly show our love for him. So what if we really do that? John 14:21 says this, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You love him, you'll keep his commandments, not just conditional, but all the time. You'll do what he says, you'll follow his word. John 15:10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And 1 John 5:3 says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Any of these verses here, does it say that if we want something, then we'll keep his commandments? No. It says, if you love me, you will just keep my commandments. You'll do what I ask you to do. You'll do what I tell you to do. And then 1 John 5:3 there, we read that verse, tells us that His commandments are not grievous, or in other words, they're not too heavy to bear. And the thing is, he's going to be there to carry the heavy load, isn't he? All we have to do is just follow him and walk with him. It's like you see sometimes a little kid walking in the snow behind their dad. They're trying to step in their dad's footprints, right? So they don't have to step through that heavy snow if it's real tall. You know, they have trouble wading through it, but if they can find their dad's footsteps in the snow, they can make it through a whole lot easier. And so we need to make sure that we're just following God, just walking in his footsteps in the snow so that we can go along, all right? Just love him like we say that we love him. Number two, what if we really served God like we say we serve God? What if we really served God like we say we serve God? Why do we serve God? Is it for the glory of God, or so others can see what we do? Do we make a show of it? Do we broadcast it? We say, hey, you know, I go to this church and I go out soul winning on, and I do this and I do that. But really, a lot of those times we don't actually do all the things that we say we do, right? We don't actually serve God many times in the way. We'll just say, hey, we got these times that we do things, but I may not actually show up, you know, and do those things. So what if we actually serve God like we say we serve God? Matthew chapter 6. Turn there real quick.
Uh-oh, good thing that cup was empty. I just knocked it over. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're doing good here. It's just after 6:30, so we're not bad. Chapter 6, verse number 1 says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." How are you serving God? How are we serving God? How are we doing it? Are we doing it for a show, or are we really doing it just because God says to, and we need to follow him in the way that he tells us to? Look one more time here to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. You know, the Apostle Paul was probably one of the greatest servants of God, right? He had such a courage, such a tenacity we know how he was before he got saved on the road to Damascus, right? He was persecuting Christians. He was killing them left and right. Says he was locking them up in prison. He was doing things. He took that same energy, that same tenacity that he had for the Jewish riot and the Jewish, the synagogue, the temple, Sanhedrin. There we go. But the Sanhedrin, that same tenacity he had for the Sanhedrin and going out and doing all the things he did, he took that. And when he got saved on the road to Damascus, he put it all to God, right? He gave it all to God. And he went in that same fearlessness, that same courage, and just served God. And so look at his example here real quick. Chapter 21, verse number 10. He says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." We know that really Paul, his main goal was get to the Gentiles and preach to the Gentiles. So if he was going to be bound and taken to them, he said, "Okay, let's go." Right? Because what I'm doing, I'm going to go preach the gospel. You know, and he wasn't doing it for a show. He wasn't doing anything for a show. He was doing everything exactly like God had commanded him to do. When he got saved on the road to Damascus, and then Ananias went to go get Paul and show him basically to the rest of the disciples, God told him, he said, "I'm going to show him what things he must suffer in my name's sake." I think Paul knew, "I'm going to have to do some suffering for God." And he did, right? He suffered. He was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, left for dead. All those things, robbed. You know, all those things that happened to him. But he did it all for the Lord. So what if we really serve God like we say we serve God? Number 3, what if we really had faith in God like we say we have faith in God? What if we say we had faith in God? Many people want to claim faith in God, but they really don't put forth the faith. They don't really have true faith. Look at Hebrews 11:6. Very familiar verse. Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But without faith it is possible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Think of all the things that were accomplished because of faith. Real quickly, think of all the things that were accomplished because of faith. Because of faith, the children of Israel were able to go across the Red Sea and the Jordan River on dry ground. Right? Because of faith, Joshua and the children of Israel were able to destroy the giant walled cities of Jericho just by doing what God said, marching around them seven times and yelling. Now, in anybody's mind, would you ever think, hey, if I march around that city seven times and yell, we're going to defeat him, the wall's going to fall down? No, that took a lot of faith in God. Because of faith, a little David, we talked about him this morning, was able to kill a 9-foot giant with just a sling and a stone. Because of faith, Peter was able to walk on water to Jesus in the middle of a raging storm on the sea. Because of faith, Paul and Silas were able to sing praises at midnight and be freed from their chains. So a lot of things, and there's more things we could go on and on about faith and what happened because of someone's faith. Jesus said himself, he said, if you had faith, just faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you could throw this mountain into the sea, right? It'd be removed, be gone, right? So it doesn't take great faith, it just takes faith. God supplies the power in the faith. We just have to have the faith in him. So what are you facing today that might require a little bit of faith? Just a little bit of faith. And these things you can think about that we talked about, they would never have happened if these people did not have the faith through trust in God that he would handle that situation. So what if we had faith in God like we say we have faith in God? And then number four, and we'll be done, what if we really loved people like we say we love people? What if we really loved people like we say we love people? This one is one that kind of, I'm preaching to myself right here. And let me tell you why. Sometimes when I get behind the wheel, and my wife and the kids will testify to this, I'm not very loving, all right? I have what I love to call Christian road rage, all right? I keep it clean, but I'm angry, all right? Be angry and sin not, right? So I tend to yell, and I get aggravated when people do crazy things on the road. Another example, sometimes when I go to the prison and I know what some of those men have done to get in there, and some things that are unspeakable, you don't even want to talk about, you know, you tend to not love people very much. Our assistant pastor, Brother Tony, he preached a message one time about just loving in the manner that God loved. Loving like we're supposed to, because we are commanded to love your neighbor, to love those around us. And that hit me at home because I thought, you know, oftentimes when I go to work, I'm not very loving. You know, I may be nice, you know, I may be the only person there. Maybe there might be two of us there, three of us, I would say. I could probably count at least on one hand how many of us, especially in the correction, in the officer side of things, the security side of things, there are probably only a handful of us, five of us or less, that don't curse at work, that don't use foul language, you know, or curse at work or anywhere else, you know what I mean? But I mean, there are some there that feel that you can't get anything done without yelling and cussing at these inmates. Well, obviously I don't do that, but still yet, you can go and not curse, but still not be very loving. You know, you can be nice in some way with your whatever, your actions or your language, but what you do sometimes is not very loving. So we need to make sure that we are loving people like we are commanded to love people. We are to love everyone. Look at just a couple verses here and we'll be done. Matthew 22. Verse number 37. Matthew 22, verse number 37. Just a challenge tonight for us. 22, verse number 37 through 39. It says this, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We got to love those around us as ourselves. That's the one thing about us. We really love us some us, don't we? We love us. We love ourselves. And we take care of ourselves. And we pamper ourselves. But we don't often take care of or love those around us. Jude, verse number 22 says this, and have some have compassion, making a difference. If you have compassion, you show love. Jesus, many times, he'd look around at the people around him, and it says that he had compassion on the multitudes. He had compassion on the people. He knew the state that they were in. He knew that they were looking for something. They were completely wrong, and he was trying to show them, hey, I'm the one you're looking for, and he had compassion on them. You know, they were going through terrible things, and he had compassion on them. And there's many people around us that are lost. They're dying. They're going through terrible things. Many of them, they're on their way to hell, and they don't even know it. We need to have compassion. We need to show love. The old saying is, it's easier to catch flies with honey than with vinegar, right? If you're sour towards people and you're, rude towards people, and then the next breath is, hey, let me tell you what Jesus says. Are they going to listen to you? They're not going to listen to me. So we have to understand that. And really, we need to show love, have compassion on people. So what if we really showed the love of Christ to those around us? What if? What if? Think about those if statements, those what if, as you go about your week this week. Let's pray. Dear Father, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your clear word and for you just showing us these ifs. And if we'll follow you like we're supposed to, then we can be blessed and others be blessed around us. We can have an impact on those around us when we show the true love of you in our lives. Lord, pray that you'll help us as we go about our week, as our days and our daily activities, Lord, that we would show that love and that we would serve you like we say we do, and we have faith in you like we say we do, and we just love you like we say that we do. All these things we ask in your name. Amen. As